Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
God's good, isn't he? I said, God's good. Hallelujah. You know, I'm really been meditating on the times that we're living in at this moment and how for so many people it's just a time they just as soon get rid of. They just as soon forget about it. They just as soon move on. But I'm telling you, this is the time that was prophesied in the Word of God. We're living it right now. And I'm excited about it. Amen. I don't like to see the world go through what it's going through. But if what it's going through is going to draw them into the kingdom, then so be it. Amen. Hallelujah. And so for the last few times that I've been with you, I've been kind of ministering on taking your place, getting positioned properly so that God can use you and I to the utmost, praise God. And so I really wanted to do that again tonight, so I'm just going to call this part four of taking your place, amen. But we're going to start in a different place tonight. And if you would, why don't you open your Bible to the book of Esther? Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, Esther. Amen. It's in the Bible. And we're going to look at some things here. I kind of subtitled this, "This is your time to make a difference." Amen. Yeah. To make a difference. Hallelujah. Not only in your own little world, but in the world as a whole. And the scripture that we're going to look at in Esther chapter 4 is some scripture that you all know, so I'm not going to show you anything that, profound or anything like that, but I just really want us to get to a place where we're starting to look at things from God's perspective. Amen? And if you read in chapter 3, you're going to find out that the Jews are under a death sentence from Haman. Amen? He wants them all dead, mostly because Mordecai would not bow before him. Yeah. Amen. And so he duped the king into making a decree to kill all the Jews. Hallelujah. So Mordecai comes to Esther, who is the queen, and wants her to go before the king to get this taken care of. Amen. Hallelujah. And so she didn't want to do it because you don't go before the king unless you're called. How many of you knows that? Praise God. Unless he tips his scepter to you, that gives you entrance to the throne room then. Amen? So she didn't want to do it. And Mordecai wanted to plant a seed into her that was going to get her motivated. Amen? And so we're going to look at Esther chapter 4, and then we're going to look at starting with verse 13. Are you there? Yes. Amen. Now you're going to have to help me out because I may not be too nice. Amen. Hallelujah. I've preached before some pretty hostile crowds before. Amen. Some of them were at my own church. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, enough said on that. We're not going any further. But let's look at this in verse 13. It says, "Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, 'Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape into king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holds thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?'" Amen. Hallelujah. So what I'm seeing from this is that there are a lot of times we think that if we're in the church, we're going to be okay. If we get around a whole bunch of believers, that we're going to be okay, that nothing's going to happen to us. Amen? But how many of you know that Satan will single you out? even in a crowd. Amen. See, that's how a lioness does in the African bush. There's a whole group of gazelles there, and they all think they're all safe, but they're looking for the one weak one. They're looking for the one that they can single out and get that one to be maneuvered out from among them. Amen. Even though they think they're safe and everything's going to be cool with them, their life's in danger. And that's what Mordecai was telling Esther here. He said, don't think just because you're in the king's house that everything's going to be cool with you. Because in time, God's going to deliver his people, if not through you, through someone else. Now, I'm telling you that in the days that we're in, God is calling every individual believer. I'm not talking about the body of Christ now. I'm talking about you and I as individual believers. Amen? And for me, I'm seeing that I need to step some things up. Amen. I need to get more intense with what I am doing. Amen. And so the world is getting darker and darker and darker. We all know that. Hallelujah. But for me as an individual, I'm about as excited as I have ever been. Why? Because I've read the book. I've read it all the way through. Amen. And from cover to cover, God is always delivering his people. God is always bringing them out of something. Amen. Yep. Hallelujah. And so that's the way that you got to look at it. God always has a remnant people.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And so even in the church, there are those that are a remnant, praise God. And so he is saying, don't think that you're safe just because you're in there. Amen? Because God's going to do his delivering power through someone, if not through you, through someone else. He said, who knows? Maybe this is your time to make a difference. Who knows? Unless you step out and do something, you're never going to know if it was your time or not. Amen? But if you feel safe just among other Christians, and you don't want to step out and do anything, amen. Well, yeah, but I just feel funny doing that. Well, amen. Join the club. Praise God. But let me tell you something. God is wanting a person who is willing to do something. Amen. Who is willing to step out and do something different. Just one person. You know, every time I think about that, I think of John the Baptist. It says, the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make way for the king. Amen? He was the only one. He was out there proclaiming, preaching, and declaring things. Amen? Just him. Hallelujah. God needs voices like that. He needs individual voices who are willing to make a difference in the world. Amen. And so that's what I'm kind of wanting us to look at tonight, is that where do you and I fit in? Amen. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11, it says that God knows the thoughts that he thinks toward us and the plans. He said, they're plans for good and not for evil. Amen. But you got to think of it this way, that this plan that God has for you was not just something that was individually made for you. It's the plan that he has had from the beginning of time. And he's bringing it into its fruition, little by little, generation by generation. He is using this one and that one and these two and whoever to bring that into fruition. Amen. He is looking for them. And so this plan is not just a plan that just came up on the spur of the moment. He's been working on this from the beginning of time. Amen. And now has come to this time. With all my heart, I really believe that we are living the last of the last days right now. I mean, all you have to do is look to what's going on and bounce it off the Word, and it's an absolute mirror of what the Word is declaring. It's just there. I mean, we're in it. Amen? We're in it. We're not getting ready to go in. We're in it. Amen. I mean, we're up to our elbows in this thing. Hallelujah. And we shouldn't be fighting through it. We should be going through it. Amen. Psalm 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So there's nothing that's going on in this world that you and I should be fearful of. We just know that this is just what it is. This is what's happening. And it excites me. Amen. It might dishearten some, but it excites me because it's telling me my Jesus is ready to come. He is ready to come. He's ready to split that eastern sky and come, amen, and take the saints with him, amen. Hallelujah. You need to be a little more excited than what you are right now. Amen. Well, yeah, but you know, I haven't, you know, especially younger people, I haven't got to get married yet. I haven't even had a child or anything. I haven't even got to go to my prom yet. Amen. Well, big whoop. What's all that? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm 67 years old and I never went to a prom. Amen. And it has not scarred me. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. So those types of things, that means nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. But this has been a generational thing that God has been doing. But he needs each and every one of us to do this the way that he wants it done. Now, let's go and look at this. We're going to look at just a little scripture tonight. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Amen. Help me out now. 1 Peter. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1. Are you there? Amen. Now let's look at this. We're going to start with verse 8. Remember, building generationally. Amen. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him, not yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So the end of your faith is your salvation. Amen. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Amen. The very thing that they were prophesying, you and I are now living in. You and I are now living in this. Amen. Yep. Hallelujah. They prophesied it. They spoke it out. Yep. They established it in the earth. Amen. Yep. That this grace is coming to you and I. Searching what or what manner of time. Amen. What manner of time. What would the times be like when this grace makes its appearance? What's the world going to look like? It's going to look like it does right now. Amen. It's going to look like it does at this very moment. Right now, you and I are safe in Father's arms in the house of God. But in a little bit, we're going to be moving out, hallelujah, into the world and experiencing what they experience every day. Amen. But it says, what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, that it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. There you are. Amen. The sufferings of Christ through the scourging, through the crucifixion, through his death and burial, and then glory to God, his resurrection. Amen. And that's the glory that should follow. That is what you and I are living in at this moment. Hallelujah. You may not even notice that the glory is here, but it's here. Amen. I sense it. I sense that the glory of God is surrounding the people of God who are ready to move out into some stuff. I do sense that. Amen. I mean, whenever I read the word of God, it just envelops me sometimes where I'm thinking, this is happening now. This is what we're living at this moment. Amen. This is what was prophesied about me and about you. Amen. At this very moment. Amen. This is not for another time. This is for now. Amen. And you were blessed to be born at this time. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people say, well, I sure wish I would have, you know, I wish I would have been born earlier, or I wish I'd never been born at all. Why? Right now is the time for you and I to get excited about what God is doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's look at this in verse 12. It says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they didn't minister these things. Hallelujah. So they were speaking these things on our behalf. They were speaking these things to bring us into the place that we're at right now. Hallelujah. They saw it. They knew it wasn't for them, but it was going to be for us. You and I are the blessed ones. You and I don't want to say lucky, because lucky has nothing to do with this. This is foretold of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I think about what it says in Amos, you know, chapter 3, verse 7. It says that God will do nothing except that he first reveal it to his servants, the prophets. Amen. So whenever a true prophet of God is ministering something, you and I need to take heart and need to listen intently to what's being said. Amen? Because they are speaking some things about what is going to take place in our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, it says, preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. Amen? Hallelujah. So here you and I are. At this time right now, at the time when it is the most intense in the world, God's glory is being revealed. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that something? God's glory is, and we're going to look at it, who he's going to reveal it through in just a moment. But the thing of it is that you and I are on the precipice of this thing, seeing it all through the eyes of the Spirit now. Remember that. Don't look at any of this through the eyes of your natural seeing, your five natural senses. You have to look at all of this through the eyes of the Spirit to get excited about this. Amen? That's what you got to do. You got to look at it through the eyes of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen? Are you still with me on this? I don't know. Sometimes I think that people know more than what they really know. Amen. I think sometimes they should know more than I know. You all should be teaching me, not me teaching you. You understand what I'm saying? Well, yeah, but I'm not a preacher. Yeah, you are. Amen. You've been called to minister God's word. And you should be teaching. You should be teaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at this. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Glory be to God. Remember, you were here. You've been placed here to make a difference. To make a difference. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, in verse 19, let's look at this. It says, now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So you're not a stranger to this. You are no longer a wanderer, just wandering around, you know, haphazardly in your life. Your life now has purpose. A believer's life has purpose. It's been designed. Back when Jeremiah 29:11, God knows the plans and the thoughts that He has toward us. These are things that are established for you and I now. Amen? And we need to start looking at ourselves as the ones who are the carriers of this. Amen? And it says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So you and I are standing right now. We are standing on everything that's been preached from the time of the apostles. That's what we're standing on. That's what we're believing. We're not after another gospel. We're believing this gospel. We're believing the one that Peter preached, that Paul preached, that James preached. Amen? That Titus preached. That's the gospel that we're believing. We're standing and we are being put together. We are fitting together in this plan. Each piece individually has a place in the plan of God. Every one of you tonight, amen, has a place in that plan. Amen. So it's not a hodgepodge of just throwing things together. It's an absolute fitting with precision. Each and every person that is born again, amen, filled with the Holy Ghost, it says we are fitted together and framed together and grows unto a holy temple. Hallelujah. So we're put together and we are growing together. Amen. For a specific purpose. Now this morning as I was kind of meditating on this and I was reading that scripture, the Lord told me this, and I had never thought that until right at that moment. He said, that's why I hate abortion so much. He said, because every life that has been snuffed out is one that did not get to be put in its place. Amen? Of all that, what, it just in the United States, 60-some million from 1973 on. Amen? They are not part of this. Amen? They should have been, because God planned it that way. But their part, no one else is going to be able to do, because they've been taken out of the picture. That's why it's so important for you and I to stand up and take our place, because there's a lot of people who are not in their place. Some by their own will and some not by their will. So that's why it's so important for you and I to stand up and to do the thing that we need to do. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. It's important for us to do that. Praise God. Amen? So you got to make a deposit. You're here to make a deposit. Amen? You're not here just to take up a seat. You're not here just to sing some songs. Amen? Or to do children's ministry or whatever. You're here to make a deposit in the body, amen, so that it comes together as a whole. So it's the most powerful thing on the earth. That's why the world hates the church so much. That's why the world is trying to dismantle the church, because they know that the church in unity cannot be defeated. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because every person is in their place. Amen. Doing the thing they've been called to do. That's why it's so important. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know what my calling is. I don't know what my place is. Well, you'll never know unless you start to pray and seek God. God says, seek and you'll find, seek me early and you'll find me. Amen. It's not that he, you know, you're praying and he goes and scampers off into another place and giggles at you. They think I'm over there, but I'm over here now. Amen. No, it's not like that at all. Because see, what happens is that whenever we pray, we're drawing near to God. And what does it say happens then? When we draw near to him, he draws near to us. Amen. He's not playing games. Amen. He is not playing games. He is expecting you and I to find the purpose, the plan, and pursue that. Amen. And not just think that, well, you know, I'm going to church. You know, if pastor wants me to do something, he'll come up and tell me. And if I got time and if it fits into my schedule, I might do it. Amen. That's not how it works. Amen. Everything that I've been involved in cost me something. Everything. Amen. I remember years and years of years ago whenever we were on the little church on the hill in Huntingburg. I mean, we just started going there. And they were needing someone to take care of the youth. Amen. And Kay and I said, yeah, we'll do it. We didn't have a clue. But we were filling a place. Was it our place? Probably not. But someone else didn't fill that place. So we did. And we did our best. Amen. Hallelujah. We didn't lose one of them. Glory to God. But we just did it because it was something that needed to be done. We didn't even know if we were called to it or not. But we just did it. Amen. See, just for, well, you know, I just don't feel that I've got a calling on my life for that. Well, you know, you don't know that. It could well be that you're just trying to talk yourself out of it. And that's the very thing that God wants you to get involved in. It may only be for a season. There have been many things in my life, they were for seasons, amen? And every one of them seasons, I learned something. Learned something valuable, amen? There were some things I went in and I fell flat on my face, but I learned something. I learned how to not do it again, amen? Well, I don't want to fail at anything. Well, then you're just going to have to leave. Hallelujah. Because there's not a human being on this earth who has not failed at least once in something. It's not about you and I looking good before people. It's about you and I getting into the trenches. Amen. And doing what is necessary to be done, no matter what it is. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. My wife and I cleaned bathrooms up in that little church on the hill. We cleaned them many times. Amen. Why? Well, because it needed to be done. Amen. Do I like cleaning bathrooms? I hate it. I don't like cleaning bathrooms. I didn't sing praises to God while I cleaned the bathroom, okay? I just didn't. But it needed to be done. I did it because I did it as unto the Lord, not because it was beneath me. Amen? Hallelujah. So sometimes you just got to do some things that are going to, you know, show you who you really are. Amen? Hallelujah. It's got awful quiet in here, didn't it? I wonder what that means. Could be that God is talking to some people. Amen. Hallelujah. So, when you and I fail to do our part, then the whole church starts to fail. It doesn't fail all at once, but it starts to. Amen. Because there are not people in their place. It says that it's put together fitly tied together. Amen. which means it's not going to fall apart. When every one of us is doing what we're supposed to do, amen, the church succeeds. Hallelujah. And not just the church for its own sake, but the city that the church is in starts to succeed. Hallelujah. Because the power of God is now present. The glory of God is now present. Do you see that? Amen. Come on now, you're going to have to help me out here. Hallelujah. You just don't want that. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we need to start to look at some stuff. Where did I tell you to go? We're in Ephesians, aren't we? Yeah. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. What was it I was wanting to look at there? Well, we already did, didn't we? Amen. See what you're doing to me? See what you're doing? Amen. Hallelujah. So there is this working, this coming together, amen, this camaraderie, so to speak, that we have as the body of Christ. And you know, whenever we're doing what God has called us to do, we're the happiest people on the earth. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. And when you're happy, then everybody around you will be happy. And then everybody wants to work with you because you're happy. Amen? They just do. You want to be around happy people, right? You don't want to be around old grumps. No. Amen. You want to be around happy people. Kids like to be around happy people. They're not going to be around some old grumpy thing. They know that. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. So we got to do what we have been called to do because it accomplishes the work of God. Amen. And we must allow it to work up to its full potential. Never underestimate what God has planned for you. Never underestimate it. Amen. You may not know the whole picture right now. See, even for me right now, I don't know the whole picture yet. Well, you should. No, I don't. Because God's not revealed everything to me. But He has spoke some things to me, and it's interesting, but I'm not going to tell you. Amen. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying about that? See, sometimes people like to talk about things that God has spoken to them, and then they get it all messed up. You're better off just keeping it to yourself and praising God about it. Amen. But there's some things in my immediate future that God is starting to speak to me about. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it's going to be good. Because any plan of God is going to be good. Amen. Hallelujah. So, never underestimate what God has planned for you. It is not based on your ability, but His plan. Hallelujah. Now, there's a really good scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at that. Amen. And every time I read this, I see me in it. I see me in it. Do you know where we're going? Well, let's look at verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things. Say, that's me. No, come on, say it. That's me. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, when you got to look at it this way, you know, God's got a sense of humor if He called me to preach. He had a sense of humor. For someone who was absolute heathen, gets me saved by His grace, and then calls me to preach, if that isn't a joke. Amen. Hallelujah. I had absolutely nothing to say. Still to this day, before I ever come up to preach, I am absolutely a nervous wreck. Why? Because without Him, I have absolutely nothing to tell you. Amen. Of all, and I've been preaching for a lot of years. Every time. I am so dependent on what He is going to do. I'm so dependent on that. Amen. And I can have all, which I do, I have my notes. But if I got up here and He told me to throw them things into trash, that we're going somewhere else tonight, I'd have to do it. And I thought, well, if you're doing it, that's fine. But don't expect me to come up with anything. Does that make any sense? Pastors, you know for sure about this. Amen. I don't know if you're apprehensive before you come up and preach, but I am. Always have been. Because without Him, there's nothing to say. Amen. But with Him, I do. So He chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh shall glory in His presence. Do you see that? Amen. No flesh. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's all about Him. So it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, or what age you are. Has nothing to do with that. Amen. It all has to do with He has chosen you to do a specific thing. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Paul told Timothy, he said, let no one despise your youth. Amen. But be an example. Be an example. Amen. And I want to look at this because this pertains to me. In Psalm 92, let's go there. Hallelujah. Amen. Older folks like me, this is a blessing. Hallelujah. Psalm 92, verse 12, it says that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Man, there, right there, right there, right there. Amen. Planted. Planted. Amen. You're not scooting around from one place to another. You're planted. Amen. You know, it took us a little while when we were looking for a different type of church. We did scoot around because we were looking and we didn't even have a clue what we were looking for. Amen. I had my ideas, Kay had her ideas, amen, and they didn't meet for a long time. My idea was that we look here because it's close. Her idea was we go where God is. Amen. Yeah, her idea was better. Hallelujah. So we end up traveling 35 miles one way to church. Hallelujah. Which is shorter than what we're traveling now. Amen. But I don't care. Hallelujah. I don't care. You mean there's no Holy Ghost churches around you? Well, sure there is. Amen. The one I pastored is one. But God's not called me there. Amen. So you go where you're called. Amen. And you plant yourself there. Now, I'm talking about being successful and you being at this time, amen, that you're in right now. It says this, that in verse 14, that they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. I like that. Amen. Hallelujah. And they shall be fat, that's me, and flourishing. Praise God. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Hallelujah. So still bringing forth fruit. Hallelujah. I don't know if you know this, and I still don't know it because I never did ever go and look for it. But in the Hebrew language, there is no word for retire. Did you know that? There is no word for retire. Oh, no. Hallelujah. See, once you sign up with God, you've signed up for life. Amen. This is not a secular job that you just quit one day. Amen. I'm going to be preaching the gospel until they carry me out. Amen. Or whatever they need to do, or they tell me to quit. I don't know. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't plan on quitting. Amen. Praise God. So, but why? Because I'm told here that I can still bring forth fruit. I remember one time someone told me that they were a little bit older. They were older than me, amen. And they were kind of, you know, saying that they're just kind of getting tired. They just didn't want to do certain things anymore, different things like that. And I said, well, can I ask you a question? They say, yeah. And I said, how old do you have to be before God quits blessing you? How old do you have to be? Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I can ask the oldest person in here, which is, of course, Kenny. Brother, does the Lord still bless you? Yes, He does. Amen. Hallelujah. So, see? There's never a time, no matter how old you get, that the Lord won't bless you. No matter what. But you have to stay planted. You have to be available. You have to do what's right. Amen? You're not going to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. I screw up. Amen? Thank God for His grace. And thank God for the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that everything that we're doing is for the time that we're living in right now. Preaching, living, doing is all for right now. Amen. The thing that needs to be done. That's for the church. Now, there's a twofold thing with this. There's also something for the world in this. Amen? And so we want to look at that. We're going to start to wind this up. But we need to look at this in Romans chapter 8. Let's go there. Romans chapter 8. Come on, if you want to get out of here on time, start flipping them pages faster. Amen? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Are you there? Yes. Praise God. Verse 16 says this, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Amen. You and I are the children of God. Our spirit bears witness with the Spirit of God that's what it is. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Hallelujah. Well, we didn't, of course, suffer the things that Jesus suffered. That wasn't our place to do that. Amen. But we do suffer to overcome temptation. Amen. Hallelujah. Or anything else that would try to draw us away from God. Those are sufferings that we do. And if we go past these things, then we'll be glorified with Him. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Amen. So where's the glory going to be revealed at? It's going to be revealed in you and in me. Amen. Believers, join heirs with Christ. Amen. This is where the glory is. Now look at this. It says, for in verse 19, "For the earnest expectation," or that just means hope, "the earnest hope of the creature, which is the world, waits for the manifestations of the sons of God." Amen. They're waiting for us. Now, the world's not going to say it's waiting for the church. The world would like to get rid of the church, but the underlining thing is that there is a void in every person's life that cannot be filled except by God Himself. Every one of you found that out. Amen. I found that out. Hallelujah. Being a good person doesn't mean anything without God. Without His Spirit inside of you, leading you, prompting you to do certain things, it doesn't matter how good you are, eventually you're going to fail and you're going to go back the other way. Eventually you will. It is only by the power of God that you stay anchored where you are. And it's only by you and I taking advantage of that power that will keep us there, because even a believer can be drawn away. Amen. Hallelujah. So the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of who you and I are. They're waiting. They're waiting for the church to take its place. They're waiting for you and I to rise up. Amen. Not in arrogance and not in pride, but rise up in the power of God. Amen. That's what the world's waiting for. They're just waiting for they're waiting for peace. But the only peace they've ever found was what the world has to offer them. And the world's peace always has a price with it. What are you willing to do for me to give you this? But the peace of God is not dependent on a price to be paid. It's dependent on a price that was already paid. Amen. And you and I didn't pay that price. Hallelujah. So they're waiting for something. They don't even know what it is. And they're sure not going to say they're waiting for the church. But they are. They are waiting for us. They are waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. That's what they're waiting on. Amen. Hallelujah. And they're groaning. The word says they're groaning to see this take place. They're sick and tired of living like they are. But unless you and I tell them that there is something better, they're going to continue on the way that they are. Amen. It's up to you and I to take our place. For such a time as this, you and I have been called. Amen. To change the course of the world's history. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 10. Can you do a couple more real quickly? Matthew chapter 10. We're going to look at this. I know I've been all over the place, but I just feel this is how it was supposed to be. So if you didn't get anything, don't blame me. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. Matthew chapter 10. Are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Verse 1 says this. "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power." Say power.
Power.
"Against..." Now, my cross-reference for the word "against" is the word "over," which I like better. Because if you're against something, it sounds like you're fighting. But if you have power over something, you've got dominion. So I like that better. Amen? So he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Amen. Now let's move on into verse 7. Jesus says this, and as you go, preach. Do you see that? As you go, no matter what you're doing, as you go, preach. Does that mean I got to get a chair, stand up on it, and preach at the street corner? No. As you go, make yourself available to anyone that you meet. Every day you have an opportunity to say something to someone that is going to make a difference for them, if you'll just do it. Amen? Boy, just the other day, I found this to be so true, because somebody that I worked with, we were talking about something there at work and how it just really gets people all upset and everything. And she looked at me, she said, but you're not like that, are you? And I said, I was at one time. I said, I'll admit, I said, at one time I was. And she said, well, why aren't you like that now? And at that very moment, it was like Satan grabbed me around the neck and told me, shut your mouth. Has that ever happened to someone? Amen. Just blow it off. You don't have to give any kind of explanation. There was an opportunity for me to preach. Amen.
Yeah.
And so I just simply said, the love of God has allowed me to do that. I didn't have to go in and preach for a half hour. Amen. That's all she wanted to know. And that's all I needed to say. Amen. It's so important that we take every opportunity that comes to us. Don't discount anything, how small it might even be. Amen. If you can speak something, even one thing to bring encouragement to someone, you need to say it. Amen. Hallelujah. There was several years ago, there was a guy, another guy I worked with, and he was kind of a rough guy. At least I thought he was. I thought he was really rough. He was a big guy, amen, a lot taller than me and bigger than me, if you can believe that, amen. And so I had heard that his son had gotten severely burnt in an accident where he worked. And so I've been praying for him, you know, that he would recover and everything. And so one day the Lord told me, he said, go and tell his dad that you're praying for his son. So he's not going to accept that because of what I thought he was. So I let it go a day or two or a week or whatever it was. Amen. Amen. But I finally, he kept telling me, go and tell him. Go and tell him. So I finally went up to him and I called him by name. And I said, you know, how's your son doing? He said, well, he's doing better. And I said, well, I just want you to know that I've been praying for him that he recover. You know what he said? Thank you. I appreciate that. And we've been good friends ever since. I see him almost every day and we talk and say hi. Amen. Do you see that? See, if I had listened to what Satan had told me, I'd let that opportunity go. Amen. But I had to get over myself. Amen. I had to get past what I was thinking and do something. You know, like even today, if I see someone in a store and they'll say, you know, pray for me about this. I said, well, we're going to pray right now. Right out in the middle of Walmart. We'll just grab hands and we'll start praying. I learned that you don't wait till you get home because you ain't never going to do it because you've done for God. You do it at that moment. You pray for him. And you know what? I found this to be an amazing thing. No, the whole store did not stop and look at us with wonder and amazement. Amen. They were still pushing their shopping carts. They were still talking amongst themselves like we didn't even exist. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. Amen. Praise God. That's a real good thing. Get over yourself, because yourself is going to be the one that is going to keep you from doing the thing that needs to be done. Amen. Hallelujah. I wrote this down. It says this: the most responsibility the church has ever been given is for the time that we're living in now. Amen. The most responsibility is for the time that we're living in at this very moment. Amen. And we're not going to go there, but you can read in Ephesians chapter 5 where it talks about that we have to redeem the time because the days are evil. We have to pick up the pace because we've been called for this. Everything that has been done from the beginning of time, everything that has been written in this book from Genesis all the way up, amen, through Revelation, has been building and building and building for the time that we're living in right now. And it's important that we don't fail God. Amen. He's not going to fail us. We already know. I mean, His Word never changes. So He's going to do what He said He'd do. But I just don't want to be like Malachi told Esther. He may get someone else to do it. I want to be the one. I want to do my part. I may not do it perfectly, but I want to do my part. Do you want to do your part? Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.